This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Triple Bypass acknowledges that we broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and to any Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander people who are listening today. We acknowledge that this land was never ceded, no treaty was ever signed, and that it always was, and always will be, Aboriginal land.
You need surgery.
Bisexuality.
Bisexual.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexual.
Triple bypass.
Bisexual.
Bisexual.
Bisexuality.
I'm bisexual.
Bisexuality.
The best of both worlds.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass.
Triple bypass on Joy 94.9.
For this episode of Triple Bypass, we'll be joined by Stacey Guildenstern to talk about intersex awareness, combat robotics, and the open source movement, find out more about a newly minted blood-sucking bi, and bring you the latest news, conversations, updates, and many, many bad puns from the biosphere. All that and more coming up on the show that's here to put the B in LGBTIQA+, Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9. And now, here's Estelle and Janelle Monáe with Do My Thing. This is Triple Bypass, your weekly bisexual plus radio takeover, and that was Estelle and Janelle Monáe with Do My Thing.
Good way to get the show started.
It was awesome. I'm feeling so much more upbeat now.
So ready for it. My name's Ruby.
And I'm Nat.
And we're here to bring you your weekly fix of the Bi Plus community goodness that you love. Thanks to team at Bad Gays for the great show. Tonight, we're talking about intersex awareness as well as combative robots, open sources and vampires. So it's going to be a really interesting show.
It is. Also, it's a wide variety.
And how to flatten gatekeepers in STEM and elsewhere, maybe with the robots. I'm going to ask about that. We want to hear from you as always, so get in touch. You can email us at onair@joy.org.au or text in on 0427 569949. That's 0427 569949. And you can find us on our socials. On Facebook, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass Joy, and email us at any time with something you'd like to be covered or a story you've got or just to say hi at triplebypass@joy.org.au. Now it is time for the latest in Bi Plus community news. Now this first story got me very excited. My angsty teenage self was so. A new upcoming BBC drama, simply titled Dracula, will turn the centuries-old... excuse me. The centuries-old bloodsucker into... I'm quoting this directly from a bisexual. The iconic vampire we played by Klaus Bang will use his powers of seduction on men and women alike. The new drama series comes from Mark Gatiss and Stephen Moffat, which is the pair behind the widely popular BBC show Sherlock Holmes, which starred Benedict Cumberbatch or Bendersnatch Cumberbund or Bumbledoodle... Cancasaur. I don't know. People come up with a lot of different versions of that name.
The last one is the best one, though.
Oh, thank you. So Gatiss claimed that his view of Dracula, of him being a bisexual, was nothing new, as he points to the 1978 version with Christopher Lee, that Dracula, there's a moment right at the back where there's, at the end of it, the Hammer film, Christopher Lee and Pete Crushing, where he goes to bite him, and he was like, it's very, very homoerotic for the time. Now, the response to this has been a bit mixed, because some of the Bi Plus groups have been saying, well, maybe it's not great to have another predator as a bisexual person or like another queer-coded bi villain. And some people have been pointing out that vampires have always been one of the most bisexual things of all time. Anyone who's read Anne Rice can attest to that.
Yeah, this is not shocking news.
And I suppose it makes sense, isn't it? Because also Moffat has had a bit of a history with queer baiting, particularly with Sherlock Holmes. So there's a sense as well of, now, Mark Gatiss is a gay man, so I'd hope there'd be some tempering of that there, but there's definitely a sense of how will this be handled. However, that being said, my vampire-loving 14-year-old self is losing their stuff right now. I'm marining in The Body Thief, which was Anne Rice's fourth book in the Vampire Chronicles, where Lestat, spoiler alert, decides he wants to be a human for a little while. And he said, the first thing I'm going to do is make love to a woman and then to a man, and then I'm going to go eat some food. And I remember being like, wait, you can do that? You can, that's a thing?
It was, you read it there first. It's actually a really good motto to live by. So I think that this, I don't know, I just wasn't surprised by this at all. And I thought it was really great to see it. But you're right, as you said, it will be interesting to see how it plays out when it's actually on our screens and we're seeing it.
And I think like vampires, if we look at how, you know, horror genre in general is looking at human fears and amplifying them and making them into monsters, whether it's fear of disfigurement, like in Frankenstein, or fear of losing control, like with Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, or the werewolf kind of trope, vampires have always been about our fear of sex.
Oh, completely.
And
completely.
So I think that's why, you know, as Jennifer Piper used to talk about on the Representation Hour podcast for this show, vampires are often shown as being quite bisexual in behaviour. I also thought it was funny that the article kept on referring to turning him into a bisexual. It's like, you know, he's a gay. He's a bi. I'm like, he's just bi.
And then a bi.
People were saying it's more like they're taking the subtext and bringing it right to the front, which would be interesting to see, given that was something that Moffat was all about, the queer subtext. So seeing how they go with bringing it right to the front, I wonder if it just is going to mean that Dracula's harem is going to be a bit more mixed. Well, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, at least we're having the conversation and we're talking about it, which is a really good thing. So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens when it's out.
And there are a large number of bi plus people I know that were really into vampires / are into vampires. So I think as well it's hitting a really good target market with that.
Vampires are cool. They've always been cool.
They've always been cool.
Yeah. They've always been bi. They've always been cool.
Yeah, I'll just ask Kirsten to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And in the rest of the news, there was an article on the Australian Guardian this week, which has sparked some bi fury, called "Did I Ever Really Know Him? The Women Who Married Gay Men," with the byline, "A Sydney counselling service is filling in what's often missing in the married man coming out narrative, the woman's voice." The article, which was posted on November 3rd, features profiles of women who, as the title suggests, married men who later have come out as gay. It's a detailed look into the damage that homophobia is still causing when gay men aren't able to even consider their sexuality and the cost that comes when they try to bury it. But what got bi plus folks worked up came later. Just one service in Australia specifically exists to help these women, the Women Partners of Bisexual Men service, run by the Leichhardt Women's Centre in Sydney. It's believed to be one of the only government-funded services of its kind in the world.
Quote in the article.
Yes, a quote, yes. The issue, which was raised by several bi plus folk on Twitter, is that the men these women married aren't bi, they're gay. And the only context bisexuality is mentioned, aside from the name of the service, is also less than ideal. "I don't believe in bisexuality. I think he was gay," reads a quote from one of the women in the article. No bisexual person was interviewed for the article, and the author was quick to brush off the suggestion that more could have been done to try and counteract the bisexual stereotypes that the article unintentionally enforces. In a now deleted tweet, the article's author insisted he was not changing a piece I'm extremely proud of for three people sensing tyranny in every tainted breeze. Sorry.
Yeah. All the tweets he put out were deleted. And I will admit, I may have tweeted a few things. But I suppose my two points for that were the fact that, you know, every man in the article identified as gay, and that was really clear. And so the fact the name of the service is still called the service for women, and the fact that that there was nothing done in duty of care. My thoughts that, well, perhaps he just isn't aware of the statistics around this, and maybe he wasn't able to get in touch with anybody. But yeah, it was people I've spoken to from the Sydney group have said that they have actually tried to talk with the Women's Centre and had some difficulties actually opening communications there. And a lot of bi plus men I could see were getting quite upset about that, because in my experience, there are a lot of bi plus men who are married and are really scared that if they come out as bi, their partners will leave them because they'll believe that they're just gay and are going to leave them. And so that causes a lot of anxiety and a lot of shame. And I think it's really important that these women's stories do get out there so people can actually understand that kind of the fact that this is still an ongoing issue. It felt that it was done once again without really much consideration or awareness of the damage it was also doing.
Yeah, I think I read the article and that really came across, is just that there wasn't a lot of consultation with bi plus community. That was sort of, I think if you'd come to that article without any understanding of the nuance or difference around some of the issues in this area, it would have really sort of presented a very one-dimensional or really reinforced a stereotype. So I think, yeah.
And I always like, the woman who was quoted for saying she doesn't believe in bisexuality, she's had a rough time.
Oh.
And I can understand that. But I always find it funny when someone's like, "I don't believe in bisexuality." I'm like, well, that's 10% of the country you live in. I'm not sure what to tell you. Are we all suffering a mass delusion that's got us so far that we've been doing a podcast about it for 3 years?
Yeah, exactly. And I think the article was very emotionally charged. Like, these were personal stories of people's intimate relationships. And I think that it doesn't matter regardless of sexuality or gender. These were highly emotionally charged stories. So there wasn't a lot of room for really unpacking some of those, the flow-on issues around.
Well, yeah, it's hard to know because no attempt was made.
Exactly.
But yeah, the tweets have all been deleted. You can find the article on The Guardian. I know a few people who have let The Guardian know that they were frustrated with it. I suppose that's the issue, though. There's still a lot of work to be done on there. But just a shout out to all the bi plus guys who are listening. Y'all are wonderful.
Oh, and completely.
Yeah, and if you need any help, you can always give Switchboard a ring or call Beyond Blue. I've done some training with both of them, so they're all good. Now, that's it for the Bi Plus news tonight. Stay tuned. We're back after this song with our guest, Stacey, to talk about robots. Oh, I'm very excited.
Vampires and robots.
And then coming up after this will be the song Honey Blood with the classic You're Standing on My Neck, which is very well timed in a sense. You're listening to Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Excuse me, excuse me. I've got to be direct. If I'm wrong, please correct. You're standing on my neck. Look right through.
excuse me, I've got to be direct. It's like a big train wreck. You're standing on my neck. You're standing. Nothing is like I planned it. Planet.
I'm Mara Wilson, former aspiring bicon, and you are listening to the show that puts the B in LGBTIQ. Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
That's right. You are back on Joy 94.9, and that was the Honeyblood with their cover of the Daria theme song, You're Standing on My Neck. My name's Ruby.
And I'm Nat.
And you're back with Triple Bypass, the show that's here to put the B in LGBTIQA+, and a P for pansexual, a Q for queer and for questioning, and an EE for everybody else. We're not about that gatekeeping life. No, no sirree. Also, just a hashtag B with a T-I for life.
Yep. You heard it here.
Every week.
And everywhere.
Now, between Intersex Awareness Day on October 26th and Intersex Day of Remembrance on November 8th, intersex organisations and advocates bring attention to the challenges that intersex individuals still face. Just so you know, in the Darlington Statement, which is a joint statement by Australian and New Zealand intersex community organisations and independent advocates, intersex is defined as: intersex people are born with physical or biological sex characteristics such as sexual anatomy, reproductive organs, hormonal patterns and or chromosomal patterns that are more diverse than stereotypical definitions for male or female bodies. For some people, these traits are apparent prenatally or at birth, while for others they emerge later in life, often at puberty or later. And to speak with us tonight about her own journey as an intersex person, but also about a lot of other things, including combat robots, is Stacey Guildenstern, the founder and first president of Melbourne Combat Robotics.
Yeah, that was one of the jobs that I had in a few years back now, though.
And until just recently, the vice president of Melbourne Amateur Rocket Society. She's also created an open source learning module that has repeatedly successfully engaged marginalized people by recognizing, then flattening, the awful gatekeeping that goes on in traditional science, technology, engineering, and mathematics spaces. She's also of a particular queer variety.
Yes. Here I am. Take a guess. I told my mother in the kitchen, let's see, I was probably in my early 30s, and she got flustered and ran out. She's listening right now. So, hello, Mom.
Hi, Stacey's mom.
Yeah, Betsy. Hi, Betsy.
If you have any questions, text us in.
Yeah, go ahead, text us in.
And Stacey is also, at the very last word, intersex. Now, if you want to get in touch, you can text us on 0427569949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. Well, there's a lot there in that bio. Firstly, you might have guessed, I'm really curious to know, what is combat robotics? Is it like I'm imagining, which is basically a Pokemon battle with robots?
And I notice you've said flattening a lot of times, so I imagine they're just going around flattening things.
Not necessarily. There's different types of weapons, and some don't actually have physical weapons. It's more about knocking someone else, perhaps.
It's like psychological robotic warfare.
Yeah, yeah. I can go. So have you ever seen BattleBots or something? There's couple of big communities, the big ones in the States, of course, but just because of population size. But there's another group that's pretty massive, and they have a TV show out of the UK. I think it might be on the BBC. I'm not sure. But we here are still in the, even though it was founded by a really great person, we just don't have enough people to make it, you know, happen.
That's true. We've only got 325 million less people than the United States. We can make it work.
We're in baby bot state.
Yeah, well, actually, people here have traveled over to the States to compete. So
nice.
I was lucky to be just by sheer chance asked to be a judge based on stuff that doesn't matter, and got to judge the first big event they did, which was at the first Sydney Vivid Festival. So that was 2015.
Do they get
I'm
points for their painting? Like if they get like a flame decal on the side, is that worth more?
No, but people like to think that if you color well, you get points. And actually, I'm asked that a lot about rockets as well. That if like the kids often think that like when they win a competition, like little kids, because we do lots of stuff with different ages, that if it's colored well, they'll win.
What
like,
do you mean, little kids? That's
my daughter
knows red goes faster.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a scientific fact.
I was launching rockets this morning with Melbourne Amateur Rocketry Society, who I cannot recommend enough. And look, we like to do lots of different things, but combat robotics was one of them, and that's where we started and wandered into makerspaces and worked with different universities, and then also connected into user groups and all of this stuff, sort of coming from my learning in open source, and essentially, which is a space where you share the information you have and you set up not-for-profits that are sort of vendor neutral, and you can go out, connect with anybody that wants to work with you on almost anything that you can imagine.
We're going to jump into that, but first I wanted to ask that, so you've moved here from the States, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's where I was working there.
And how did you come to connect with the intersex community here in Australia?
Yeah, look, I wish I could say that I had come to it sooner. Somebody found me because I brought it up to Thorn. I was at a workshop.
Thorn Harbor Health?
Yeah, Thorn Harbor. And they were so kind to sort of pass the word on. And then someone friended me. And next thing I know, all these people are friending me and putting me in groups. So
you were recruited.
I was recruited. And people know me at the City of Melbourne. I've done, because I'm a disabled carer as well. My partner has MS. So a lot of the stuff that I do has to do with engaging even with her. Like, that's why we do it as volunteers. And she's a landscape architect, like was. She no longer is, but, you know, still can do great things. So we take our time to do it because we're allowed to and have the freedom to. Yeah, it's a beautiful thing.
And so you basically went to Thorn Harbor, someone made a call. I almost imagine like one of those old...
Yeah, there's not enough connection. It's like the bisexual community. So there's all this splintering that happens and fingering out of like, I have this and you have that. And so we don't mix. And it's unfortunately something where... intersex, I'm finding as I sort of wander into that community more, to be much more stigmatized than I was expecting, at least here and maybe everywhere, because as I'm finding out more about it, it's a bit shocking to me how I've even asked MPs to like just post Intersex Awareness Day, October 26th when we had it, and they were like hesitant. And I'm like, here's a photo of the spire lit up. Like, you know, this is a legitimate...
That's right. Melbourne's Art House had our spire, which looks like a very small, sad Eiffel Tower. But it looks really lovely lit up in the purple and yellow,
that's
the intersex colors.
It's smaller than that, too.
It's the little tower that could. It's the tallest one we've got, so we'll take it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's definitely been a change in that scene over the last few years, but it's still an area where there's general lack of awareness around...
Because it's a blanket term. That's the problem. Mm. So it's a similar thing where, look, you identify often chromosomally, but you don't have to necessarily have a diagnosis of a chromosomal disorder to have it. So that means that some people still don't understand that there are kids who are getting, you know, awful things done to them at hospitals nearby, because we still normalize bodies in a way that really isn't appropriate, you know, at that age where they can't kind of figure out what they want.
That's the, from what I understand, one of the biggest pushing arguments.
Yeah.
Like the idea of performing what is effectively non-medically necessary surgical procedures to kind of normalize what they see as falling outside the bounds of what is allowed.
And there's a chart. It literally, like, it's almost as like kind of pornified as like there's a chart where they measure the child's, you know, clitoris/penis, and depending on where you fall out, it's really like... Really? You know what I mean? That's still sort of how they measure it, is on a little I'm like, really? We're still there? So, look.
So that's been a bit of a shock for you then.
Not as much of a shock. I think they're more traumatized than I expected. And I mean that in a really good way. I think that they're all really fighting their buns off and have been, and that the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons needs to listen to their advice. And that's where I think lifting up to a higher level and looking at legislation, there's a middle ground there, and we got to start training surgeons to be more aware of what they're doing. And there's only one way to do that, which is at sort of an oversight level, which doesn't have to be legislated, but it could. Yeah, would be nice. That would be great. But, you know, training.
And so is there a big difference in what you've seen within advocacy in the community in the States, or just the general conversation around
it? I had no full idea I was under the blanket term until I put it all together by seeing a local community member talking about their intersexuality, and I related to more than just the... I had the highest testosterone of any woman that my top endocrinologist in Boston had ever tested in her entire career. So, like, I can't bear children. I can't physically get a child out of me except through my stomach. Like, I'd be dead. Even though I'm not a small person, it's just the way I'm not built right. So
you're built differently.
I mean that, though. It actually was a problem. Like, unfortunately, if we had known that, and I carried a child at 39, so I was older, it would have stopped me from spending 40 hours in labor trying to do something my body couldn't possibly ever actually do.
That's something I've heard, is that often, you know, they were saying people with intersex can find their intersex at puberty, but it can also happen a lot later.
I was almost 40, and that's quite common, even with, because we didn't have chromosomal testing like we do now. So you go to an endocrinologist, and that was the end of the door, pretty much. And even now, I haven't gone through the entire process. I don't know if I will. Like, in a way, my daughter's hitting puberty, my biological daughter. I can carry a child, I can get pregnant, but I can't actually bear a child. Best way to say it.
So cesarean.
Yeah, only a cesarean. So, like,
I was a child of a cesarean.
Yeah, it was all good, but it was like 40 hours of why does it hurt so much? And then when the doctor apologized to me because she was jammed in there so tight, they couldn't actually physically remove her. She was stuck. She had like a ridge on her head.
Well, that will talk.
Yeah.
But you have a daughter. I've seen photographs of her with a rocket.
So, she looks great now. No more ridge. Yeah. So I'm just saying, like, it's a physical issue. It's not just as simple as... you can find out the hard way that you need to be near medical help for certain parts of your life. You don't know, you know? Like, you can die from it. Yeah. It's serious.
So it's something that definitely there needs to be not just awareness but action on. We'll be back right after this to talk a bit more about both the intersex communities in Australia but also the bi plus community and the STEM communities and the robots community.
We'll get back to that, I promise. We like to circle.
That's all right. I do too. We'll be back on you're listening to Triple Bi Plus on Joy 94.9.
Trying to figure you out, but I get lost in the flowers. I'm really liking the sound of playing with you. Damn, the sky is so blue. I swear you
That's right. You're on Joy 94.9 listening to Triple Bypass, the home of Joy's bisexual agenda.
Yay.
I'm Ruby.
I'm Nat.
And we are joined by Stacey Guildenstone, the former, the founder and president of Melbourne Combat Robotics, first president, the creator of an open source learning module that's here to flatten gatekeeping, and also a recently inducted member of Australia's intersex community.
Yeah, that was pretty cool how it happened. Yeah.
It was really lovely to hear. If you've had any questions or you'd like to get in touch, please email us on air at joy.org.au or text in on 0427 569 949. Now, I also want to mention that every episode of Triple Bypass, including this one, is available as a podcast. We also have some podcast exclusives, including the Bi Polycast, about bisexual polyamory, every month with Anthony, and interviews with bicons, including Mara Wilson, a.k.a. Matilda, a.k.a. My Childhood, which are available in podcast form at joy.org.au/triple bypass, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, our Podbean, and where all good podcasts are found. Now, back to you, Stacey.
Back to me. Thank you.
So we've jumped around a little bit talking around, you know, what you've learned about the intersex community here and the battles they're fighting, your own history with creating open source learning tools, yeah, and with robotics and rockets. And
other stuff too. We've done and lots of different things.
Yeah. One of the things that came up briefly was, you know, you've come here from the United States, and that in the United States, the LGBTQA community and the intersex community are quite separate.
Yes.
While here in Australia and in some other countries, the intersex community is part of our acronym and it's a bit more grouped together. In your experience, what kind of impact does this have? Is it for better, for worse, a bit of both?
I think that we need to be here because often we don't actually have any standing if we don't. We actually need you guys to support us and get us through doorways. So that's no joke when I say, like, there really needs to be some discussion about who do we know that can help us start. It's like we talk about female genital mutilation openly or different things around that, but then it's actually happening at Royal Children's, and I mean that in the kindest way to Royal Children's, who are fabulous in their own right for many things. This is not one of them, because there's always a fear of lawsuits and different things that can follow behind. And the states probably doesn't want to put us together, because that's really where we're at, is the, like, whoa, this is like the Catholic Church and the little boys sort of breaking and the waves going out and out, because there's so many places where it's still so taboo that you can't get past that. They don't even ask. Mm. They just, like, literally do surgeries pretty much without any discussion of the options.
Now, if I'm correct, so there's over 40 intersex variations.
At least.
So
it depends on who you ask.
Hormonal.
Yeah.
And as well as that, people who are, and I think it's like 1.7 to 2% of the population have an intersex variation.
Yes, same so as redheads, as we like to say, but that's not my quote.
And green eyes.
And, oh, really? I love green eyes.
Yes, and nice. And also people who are intersex. Intersex is a variant. It's nothing to do with your gender identity. It's
no.
It's nothing to do with your sexuality. It's a separate space.
A lot of people that are intersex consider themselves quite clearly male or female. And you can also be transgender as an intersex person. There's many options, of course, just like we all kind of try to pick it up. We were talking about this when we recently met. You can pick it apart into so many ways, and then you grow a bit, and you might 5 years later kind of change how you describe it or whatever. We are still trying to figure out how to get intersex people to be even okay to say it, because there are groups of men who are not told they're intersex when they're coming back with chromosomal differences, that they'll accept that part. But then when you actually use the blanket term, it is a, like, no, they won't even talk. They don't tell them that. So a lot of women and men are walking around not realizing that they actually fit under the umbrella. I argue that people with PCOS should be under that umbrella on the female side, because it definitely virilizes or masculinizes you and takes away your fertility and does all sorts of things to your body.
And as I have PCOS, and so as someone who, a lot of the treatments around it are very much focused on just trying to raise estrogen without really...
Yeah,
in the stupidest ways, too.
Yeah. And if you have other, like, so...
And not in ways that help your fertility, just more of a sense of, oh, this might help you just fit into the hormonal level that we think that you should be in.
And I came back, so when I got tested, I came back completely within the normal spectrum, except for testosterone, which it was so high, it was off the charts. And she actually started talking to me about a few studies related to it. And I never put it all together until I couldn't actually have my child, you know, and I was like, this is not like, you know, that he apologized was pretty unusual, I reckon, because it was pretty shocking to him what he found out when he actually got in there. So, and I had tried to express that to multiple doctors, but it was the public system. And so it's no fault. This is up in Sydney, by the way, not here in Melbourne. And my daughter's 11, so this is a while ago as well. It may have improved, but I doubt it. And it bums me out because I actually had the easiest story of most of the people I've talked to. And that's true, yeah. I almost feel like, and I've said this, I'm not the subject matter on intersex awareness as much as I am happy to be a part of the community now and say, look, I can't not say that I am because I am both, you know, you can look at me and tell there's some things different.
But what you are a subject matter expert on is combat robots.
Yeah, and I am on that and rockets.
And open source and, again, something open source. Yeah, and I suppose if you're, one of the things that I thought was really interesting was that you, even before you found the intersex community and like found that place for yourself, you've obviously been doing a lot of work for a very long time in dealing with gatekeeping and in empowering marginalized groups.
I've got a good question for you. So would you guys, either of you guys, go on the on a rocket to the International Space Station? Would you go?
Oh, yeah. No. If I could bring my stuff.
You would go? Like, just for a short trip, you know? Yeah. So you're not going to Mars or anything like that? Okay, you're not going.
I would.
How short is the trip?
Oh, well, you can make up whatever number you want. Would you go on a rocket to just, like, if you had the chance?
Knowing that there was
a... Can I have a lot of Valium first?
Oh, hey, I'm not telling you what to have in your little... What do they have? Remember in the 70s cars with little metal cigarette holders you could kind of play with?
I was not alive.
Okay, let me just tell you.
I'm saying, in the spirit of highly calculated spontaneity, I'll say yes.
Yes, okay. So you're going to the International Space Station. Are you cool that the person who sort of designed the rocket and oversaw the process of designing the outside of the rocket, which gets the heat, of course, is a materials science PhD? Like, is that like what you would consider an appropriate profession to oversee a group of engineers designing the outside of the rocket?
With the knowledge that I have,
materials science, you
but
know,
look
like
in
what
your face
he, you know,
is, would
you,
is yes like, the wrong answer? Because I'm kind of
yeah. You
that.
Would want him. You would probably want somebody who had a PhD in materials science and things that were very highly technical to
then
get
yes.
you up in the air. Say yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
So you're willing to go if there's someone highly trained in getting you up in the air. That's like one of the things. There's many things. There's engines. All sorts of stuff, but you know, the outside's really important because that's the part that you don't want to fall apart.
Wait, what kind of stickers are on the outside?
Okay, so it depends.
No, okay,
it's not rocket science, Matt. Oh, wait,
it is. Anybody that wants to launch rockets, we will continue next year, by the way. Melbourne Amateur Rocketry Society had their last launch today because fire season starts Monday, so I'm just putting it out there because people often go, oh, what do? Find Melbourne Amateur Rocketry Society on Facebook. That's the best thing.
And I'm guessing they're
page.
Quite queer friendly.
Yes, they accepted my partner and I, who rocked up with our two daughters in a like freezing cold tent in the middle of winter to launch rockets pretty much with people who were building massive. I have photos of my daughter who's like a third of the size of the rockets that they were launching there, or more. Like, some of them were probably four times as big as her. And it was really cool. So why do I do this?
No.
And why are they friendly to gays?
I'm just trying to figure out how we... I'm on the space station.
Okay. So the last question is, if that material's PhD... Thank you. See? ADHD... It sometimes overlaps. If that material science guy, the guy who oversaw the building, he has, you know, lots of specialty in making sure that you're safe.
Is it a guy?
Yeah, we're going to go with the guy because it probably is actually a guy.
Statistically, yep.
Okay. Well, you know, at the moment. Not always, but yes. Would you be cool if that person also oversaw the welding of that rocket but had never actually welded before in their life?
Probs not.
Would you go?
No.
Probs not.
Okay. So that's why everybody needs to get their heads around the idea that STEM, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, is completely craft-based. Universities came from craft guilds. We have lost that in our education programs. And my daughter homeschools and has done school off and on a few times, but we just find that there's so much available to go out and do, especially if you're willing to be the first one in the door. So, you know, I'm with my female partner. We've been together for 3+ years, sort of, something like that. And, of course, she's highly gifted in what she does with CAD and different programs that are quite technical because of her background. So we, when we're out and about doing this sort of stuff, really try to promote the idea that things are craft-based, including mathematics. Like, it's all about relationships. Mathematics is about relationships, not numbers. My friend May is the one that turned me on to that thinking.
One is the loneliest.
So it is. It's about, so or two, well, you know.
Two can be as bad as one.
At least. So we should always be aware that there's nothing to be afraid of. It's a craft. The problem is that people get so good at that they forget how to open the door to you and set out a welcome mat. So that's what I do. And I'm a translator. So my highly testosterone body, and it's gotten better over the years, by the way. I'm not to get too personal, but I've already passed into what I think is menopause, pretty close to it. And so my body's changing again. I mean, it, you know, never stops, as you discover in life. And my levels are a little bit more normal than they used to be, but I certainly think like a man. I've been told, like, by people over the years that they see me in a very masculine light, and it used to really hurt my feelings and upset me, because I always felt very like, oh, I just wanted to be a girl, or like just be a boy and get it over with. But I just couldn't quite balance it, you know. I felt like an ugly girl or an unattractive girl. So perhaps I gravitated to some spaces where other people might be a little awkward and very gifted and interesting, and, you know, have their own issues, where that I could get to kind of get my foot in and find my place with their help. Yeah, there's places out there where they're very accepting of us. We don't have to be afraid to step out and do stuff and be who we are.
Oh, that's good to hear.
That is good to hear. We'll be talking a bit more about some more of these spaces right after this short break. Coming up is Free Mind by Tash Sultana. This is Triple Bypass on Joy 94.9.
Shirt and your glasses on, and you don't see yourself. No, somebody's calling the doctor, doctor, for this kind of disease. Unscrew my mind, I walk with ease, cause I can feel it crawling underneath my skin. But you wrap me in your cinnamon, honey, so cool, soak it in.
That's right. This is Joy 94.9, and you've tuned back into Triple Bypass, your weekly Bypass takeover. I'm Ruby.
And I'm Nat.
And we're here with Stacey. And that was Free Mind by Tash Sultana. Mm. Now, we've been chatting with Stacey a bit around intersex awareness, because we are between Intersex Awareness Day and Intersex Day of Solidarity, which is coming up on November 6th. You can find out more around the intersex movement. It's 6th or 8th. It might be 8th. By checking out the Darlington Statement. If you Google Darlington Statement.
I should know that, but I don't know the date. The Darlington Statement. Yeah, very important. Let's say that again. The Darlington Statement. Remember.
And that was an incredible document that's been put together by intersex advocates from New Zealand and Australia that outlines the intersex movement and what they wanted to change and how we can help. So check that out. Affirm it. Get your knowledge up. We've also been talking about rockets and robots and whether or not Nat and I would go to the space station, and why maths is about relationships and not numbers. It's been a wild and pretty wonderful journey.
It has been a wild journey, and I wish someone had told me that about maths much earlier.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that unfortunately we discover that we keep separate the humanities, arts, crafts. Those, like, I always lump those terms together and make people accept that about how I talk about this topic, that we actually need to go back and start looking at the fact that there's no point, and this is, again, stolen from my dear friend May, who works at ScienceWorks. Hello, May, if you're listening. That, like, you don't just start a project and go, now I'm doing maths, or now I'm engineering, or now there's no, it's not a big monolith that can't be broken into parts. Lego is something that you engineer with, and we all do it, and a lot of it has to do with having good instruction in the beginning until you're ready to go off on your own. And that's what I try to do, is help translate that portion when people are first getting started and they're worried about the acronyms and they're worried about whatever technical things. They're just like, well, rocket science is literally sandpaper, hot glue, and tying knots. And if you can do those three things, I can launch a rocket with you, as we did today.
I'm feeling a lot more buoyed about my chances in these.
You can be a rocket scientist too.
Well, I think that's it, right? Because STEM is still a field where we see a huge amount of gender discrepancy.
Yeah, so I work with women a lot. Yeah. I really intentionally go out and look, my first class in robotics actually was when I first moved here about 4 or 5 years ago now, was at University of Melbourne RoboGals, and RoboGals is fabulous and has always been really progressive with women and getting them in that space, the STEM space. But beyond that, they also were really awesome, because we had a transgender girl in the class and her mother was a lesbian, so it was really cool to, like, we don't ever turn people away. In other words, me, Stacey, wherever I go, if I find a group of people that I can help by running a rocketry event or something, that means that kids who actually didn't ever think they could be a rocket scientist become one. And then they can't believe it. They actually can't believe they've done it. And you guys can do it with me sometime, but it'll be next year, because the season's
over. It's fire season, and Australia is touchy about that stuff. Did you see the hashtag? So it was hashtag buy and sigh.
So I love SKI. That.
It was
it's
a big
so
thing
cool.
Last year in April, and that all these people, like bisexual people, were taking photographs of themselves in their workplaces. Where
there's
just, like,
more of us out there than people. It's, you know what? Ever since Sex and the City, where, like, all of a sudden she became a lesbian, and we're like, wait a minute. Doesn't make sense, you know, like, how did she Samantha just became a lesbian, but I was like, wait a minute, but she still wanted, I'm like, doesn't that mean that she's bisexual? And this is like back 15 years ago when Sex
and then Carrie dated a bi guy, and she was like, just bi is like a road to gay town.
Bi is a road to gay town, like that. That she probably shows my age, but like, I remember being offended by that, because by then I had told my mom that I was interested in women and I was dating a woman, and actually it was sort of like I had to kind of deal with that. So we kind of dropped it after that. My dad was actually really cool about it, strangely, which surprised me. I thought it would be the other way. It's just interesting. You never know, do you, how people will. And so when I kind of come to terms with using my spare time to try to help people like me, and what, regardless of what their story is, we work with men who might be on the spectrum and have a really difficult time with social awareness and have a hard time being in groups.
Just to confirm, that's the autism spectrum, yeah?
Yes, I'm sorry. Let's be clear, because everything is a spectrum. Nothing is
as
exact.
Someone on that spectrum, I'm very literal, which is why I like to check.
Thank you, because I often segue without a segue. So that's ADHD. So a lot of this stuff overlaps. Intersex people, I've talked to a lot of people who have problems with their teeth, with their eyes. There's other stuff that we wonder about because it's so new, like pulling it apart to find out stuff.
Autistic people can often have more likely to have food allergies and gut problems.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like we are so new to what we like, it's embarrassing that we're killing ourselves off so quickly in so many different ways while we're also just figuring ourselves out.
Planet-wide? I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and I mean, I totally, in every way, you know, like, I just wish that we could stop spending our time doing anything but, you know, using some free time to toss out to someone else who you have, everybody has expertise. Even if you're just, you know, coaching your kid's game or whatever, I think we wish that there were more people like us, bisexual people and intersex people, who need to prop up each other's communities as best we can when we hear things that just, it's so, intersex is so under the cover still. I can't believe how much more it is than anything else in that alphabet group.
It's something that actually, yeah. I found that when I became friends with some of my friends in the intersex community, would actually be able to bond over the fact that we were both letters in an acronym that would often kind of rattle off the whole acronym without actually thinking about either of our
people go ah, yeah. And then B, of course, look, so it, and also then people get bitchy about it, pardon me, I don't know if I can use that word on radio, I did,
it's after nine, it's fine,
cool, about, you know, we talked about this, you know, I've kicked around pansexual, then you start getting weirder and you're like, well, maybe it's that I'm sapiosexual or I don't know. And then, you know, like, you're reading about it and you see a lot of, you know, discussion, because I'm also really into not being ableist, obviously. So there's so many different aspects to how we use language. And I studied linguistics in grad school as part of what I did. And I find it fascinating that we still are dealing with the fact that I heard you saying that there are, like, groups of LGBTQI, let's say, events happening where bisexuals are not invited to the table still. And I was like, really? Are we still not there? Same as intersex often, or maybe not as much even, you know? Are we still not there? That, like, it's pretty clearly spelled out. I mean, it's how many times you see it written even on a single day? And, well, certainly in the office, but, you know, out in the world even.
Yeah, I think that's been, like, a kind of a common point that I've noticed with some of my friends who film the show, as well as Elise and Morgan, and that sense that, oh, just because you are saying the whole acronym, if you're not actually paying attention to the individual letters. And I think the biggest issue we find for bi plus people, as I've talked about to anyone who will be willing to listen to me for more than 2 seconds, is people often assume that bi is covered by gay, basically.
Yeah, of course.
Or bi straight. And so, you know, you're in a relationship with a woman, so anything, like, you know, you can just get covered by gay services and that's fine. That's going to meet all your needs and get everything covered for you in that sense. And if I'm dating a guy, I get to be, firstly, a woman again, which is weird. Mm. And secondly, I'm covered by all the straight services, even though my own queerness is not going to be a factor, will not be factored into anything I do. So I think that's kind of a similar issue, much like how, from what I've heard, people often confuse intersex variations and gender identity. And
yes.
Those are very separate things. And that people who, as you mentioned before, people who have an intersex variation can be trans, can also be cis.
Yes.
And can be.
And a lot of us are. And to be honest, we're probably the most boring group within the community, I'm sorry to say. And maybe that's why, because we're not as good at parades. And I'm being honest about that. Honestly, it is a lot of marketing.
But I think there is also something about when we're using the
No, you want a Budweiser mug a little while, like the intersex flag.
Oh, dude. I'm in, yeah. Sorry. Or some neon. I'm liking neon.
No, I've just, I guess from the not being part of the intersex community, but often when we use the acronym in the art, like, as you just said, the letters are being used and we're not necessarily thinking about the context in which they're relevant. And so I know that often, you know, when we're, say, for example, if we're talking sex education or sexuality education, and I think people are becoming more aware now about broadening that scope to be inclusive of various gender.
We are still arguing about things that are important to the trans community that need to be fought for. And we are right standing there going, we are the perfect example of why it's important to be accepting of trans people. Like, we're not necessarily trans. We're often not trans. In fact, as I said, we're probably the most vanilla of all
I think
all
it's
y'all.
About the same from what I see from research. You're about as...
Yeah.
People are about as likely to identify as trans as non-intersex people. As allosex?
Yeah. Oh, God. That's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes you just get so lost in what it means. And as you age, you change and your hormones change. It just, it's complicated. Mm.
Yeah, I think, well, I guess from what the conversation we're just having, when we're talking about the intersex community, I think so often the conversation around gender identity and sexuality is coming from an advocacy and activism.
It's a well-intended place.
And I think what it seems to me from where I'm sitting is sometimes with intersex, when we're talking about intersex rights, because it's coming from such a medically, there's a real medical gatekeeping aspect to that information. Yes. That's what's stopping the conversation. So when, you know, you go into a workshop and you ask a group of adults to define gender, sex, sexuality, and there's, and you know, you talk about intersex bodies and variations, like, oh, so you mean transgender. So the conversation gets cut off because there's a level of medical knowledge that we actually need people in the medical industry to come, medical profession to give us, so we've got that knowledge there.
It's literally the Royal Australasian College of Surgeons that can be the best for that. And that's where I hope we get a chance to go spend some time talking about their processes, because I think, of course, it's Australasian. So why aren't we talking to other countries like Thailand that really has an understanding of things that would cover intersex people as well as they age, things, you know, people that are getting gender reassignment surgeries for any reason.
Yep.
There are specialities out there and we don't take advantage of, I mean, just because they're Asian doesn't mean they don't know more than us.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah, I know. Like, we act like we have it all sorted, and here the doctors here are probably worse at identifying what needs to happen.
I think Australia has a bit of a history of realizing that harm might be being done and then deciding that it is better to keep...
it's so British, guys.
Well, surprisingly, that wouldn't be shocking.
It's like the tall poppy thing that blew my mind when I moved here. I was like, oh my God, what's wrong with all the women? They're like chopping my heads off because they thought I was going to go after their husbands and themselves. You know, like anytime I'd even admit it, I didn't tell a lot of people for a long time.
About being bi.
And then, of course, intersex, I mentioned, but people just don't even know where to go. I actually think we're at the stage where people just don't even tune into that word. They just like pretend it's like saying cancer. You know, don't talk from there. You just go, you know.
In Australia, that landscape's actually changed a lot where knowing what the word is. In the last 2 years, I think...
I hope so, but maybe we're in that bubble. I mean, like, you know, you go on Facebook and you're going to see it.
LGBTI bubble. But I think that's part
of our benefit, which is why we need you.
We're not going anywhere.
Don't go anywhere without us, please.
And I think that is really important. You can, again, check out the Darlington Statement to get a better idea of some of the Australian and New Zealand intersex community and then discussing basically what their needs are, what their history is, and what they would like for us to do to help. It's a really easy way to find out and help out that way. Now, we're about to wrap up another episode of Triple Bypass. We'll be back next Tuesday to bring you more of the Bypass agenda. And, of course, you can find every episode ever as a podcast on joy.org.au/triplebypass on iTunes, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I feel so cool. Thanks, ladies. You're awesome.
And if you've got a friend who'd enjoy it too, let you know. That's what this community is all about. Find us on our socials on Facebook, Triple Bypass, Instagram, Triple Bypass, Joy. Email us at any time, triplebypass@joy.org.au. I'm Ruby.
And I'm Nat.
And coming up next is Matt with Soul Provider, who's showcasing up and coming some of his favourite hits from tonight. You've also might have heard him on Bad Gays. So Matt's basically bookending, which is pretty wonderful, I like to think. Stacey, we'll be back next week. You're on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.